Well, tonight we're in Luke chapter 15, 11 to 32. We're looking at, I'll give you what they normally say, the prodigal son. That's what we're used to hearing. It's about this prodigal son, just him. But no, we're going to look at it tonight as the prodigal son, the prodigal father, and the prodigal God. This parable by our Lord Jesus Christ is one that has confused a lot of people down through the years because it's like, well, what's going on here? What's so wrong with this second son? He didn't go waste all the money. He didn't do on any of that stuff. But we're going to find out he had another problem. And that problem is the same problem that many people have as well. So tonight we're looking at the prodigal son, the prodigal father, and the prodigal God. So let's pray, and we'll ask God's help, and we'll get in here tonight. Father, thank you for your blessings throughout this day. Indeed, we rejoice in you tonight, and we thank you that we have still a date on the calendar that recognizes our great God. And so we ask that you would give us and not just a day, but a blessed week of thanksgiving. And not only that, but every day in our life should be a day of thanksgiving to you. So we're looking to that this week, and we pray that you give everyone in this church, our church family, a really great week and a wonderful time in thanking you, and a blessed day on Thursday as well. We ask now tonight that you bless as we look into your word and look at the prodigal son, the prodigal father, and the prodigal God. Lord, help us to be able to sort this out and to see it as it is and make the applications that we need to for ourselves here tonight. So thank you for your goodness. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I'm trusting and depending in you for that tonight. And we would see Jesus, and we're going to look at him tonight as he is going through this parable. We ask for your help and your direction in Jesus' name. Amen. So, by way of introduction, the love of our great God comes streaming from this text of Scripture. We sing the hymn, "The Love of God." Verse 3 says, "Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, when were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong! It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song." Again, we see someone who was very familiar with the word of God. As believers, these words have deep meaning for us. And I call your attention now to the word prodigal. The word prodigal, it has two meanings. The first meaning is the one that we are very accustomed to, which references the prodigal son, in that he spent his money recklessly, wastefully, and extravagantly. But there's a second meaning to the word prodigal. It references the father of the son, and it references God, in that the father and God are extremely generous and lavish with what they have to give to that son and his other son, and as God lavishes his blessings upon us as his children. So you got to go, when you go to the dictionary, the first one you'll see is about the prodigal son. The second definition will reference the father of the son and our great God. So this parable is primarily about the lavishness of our great God's love. His love is incomprehensibly vast. It is bottomless. It is unlimited. And that's what the hymn writer brought out in the verse that we just read. This parable also gives us the opportunity to take our own spiritual temperature and to see where are we in this parable tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to step into the sandals of both sons. And we want to see if there's anything in either one of them that matches our lives. Is there anything that we need to work at in our life here tonight? So point number one is the younger brother. The younger brother, verses 11 to 19. So we're in Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 11 and going through verse 19. And he said, Jesus speaking, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" So the parable begins with a young man who wanted to get away from the nest. He's going to get away from home. Give me my portion of the inheritance and I'm going to get out of here. And like many others, he had his reasons for doing that, and he wasn't afraid to express it. He wanted to be his own man. He wanted to have no boss anymore. No more of take out the trash. No more clean up your room. No more get a bath. No more stop squeezing the toothpaste from the top. He longed for a life where he could do as he pleased. Isn't that most people in the world? He minimized his present joys and his freedoms that he had. The father saw there was no point in carrying on an argument with the son. Here is your inheritance. The father knew this is the only way that this boy is going to learn. So they parted. The father very sad at heart at what is happening. The young man feeling very smart, self-satisfied. He knew the song, "I did it my way." And that brings us to our second sub-point. He's sick in the wild life. Sick in the wild life. Did I ever say A? Sick of home. Our first sub-point, A. Sick of home. Then B, sick in the wild life. So off he goes to this distant country. He's going to go far away. And there he wastes his wealth in wild living. Well, how do you do that? Well, you go out and you buy the finest wardrobe that money can buy. Man, you're going to look good out here in this society. It's going to be the best. So he gets out there and, boy, he's popular and everybody adores him. And the people all laugh at his jokes and they love to be around him because he's going to share some of this. And the prodigal life was really good. Man, it is great. Now he could buy anything he wants. He could even buy people. So there were new pleasures in his life, but also there was deeper degradation. So even before his money is running low, there would be thoughts of home, but only passing thoughts. And then C, he is sick in the pig pen. He is sick in the pig pen. So everywhere he went, he is sick. So the money runs out and famine comes, and Jesus' description of what happened had to make the Jewish listeners growl in their hearts. This guy goes and literally glues himself to a Gentile pig farmer as a servant. For a Jew, that is the ultimate humiliation. And so feeding pigs, how wonderful is that? And so we have some wording here, and I looked up Robertson's word pictures. The phrase, he would fain have been filled. So literally, he was desiring, he was longing to be filled, and so to feed with the grass and with anything that would satisfy his belly. And then we have the phrase, with the husks. And the word occurs here alone in the New Testament, and it is a diminutive of the word kairos, meaning horn. And so it means little horn. It is used in various senses, but here refers to the pods of the carob tree or locust tree, still common in Palestine and the Mediterranean today. And it is so called from the shape of the pods. They look like little horns. And the gelatinous substance inside these little pods had a very sweet taste to it. And they used this to feed swine, and also the folks who were herding, they could eat that as well. But the deal here for us and the prodigal son is they would not even give him that to eat. I mean, this guy is in a really bad way. And just a few months before, man, he was the star. I mean, he was so popular and things were looking so good. It was just wonderful. I came in here on Wednesday night. It was getting cold, as you know, and driving the bus. And so I pulled out my 25-year-old old black leather jacket because it's warm. So I put that on and drove the bus, came here, and little guy on our bus ministry, I went walking down to where they were down there, and he goes, Pastor, he says, you're a rock star. And I said, why? He said, that coat. He's 4 or 5 years old. And that, I don't know where in the world he picked that up. So this guy, he was a rock star. And but now, no longer. He's had a huge change. Let me call your attention back to verses 17 to 19. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven before you, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of my hired servants. This guy is now living the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about poverty of spirit. He knows what that is now. He's mourning over his sin, and he has desperate spiritual hunger. What a change in this man. And now he's running through his memories of home, and he's thinking about his dad and how good his hired servants have it in his house. He said, man, I'm nowhere close to even being like a hired. I'm going to go home and be better off to be a servant in my father's house. But he was not ready for what was going to happen. He was not ready. Point number two, the prodigal father. The prodigal father, look at verses 20 to 24. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. And it means he kissed him over and over and over. And the son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Never in a million years would he have thought that's what was going to happen. I mean, he's coming begging home. Make me one of your servants. He has no clue about everything that is about to happen. You know, everything about his life was burned into his father's memory. He knew that boy. He knew how that boy walked, and the father sees him afar off, and he knew who he was. He knew him. He had that walk. He had wept over this boy over and over. Every day he's looking. He's looking for his son to come home. And one day he did. One day he comes home. And what does this guy, this man do? This father, he's an old man. And he runs. And he is filled with compassion. Hugs him and kisses him. And then his boy, what does he do? He begins his well-rehearsed speech. He's been going over this for miles and miles and days and days. And what does his father do? Cuts him off. I'm not even going to listen to this. And he starts, what does he do? He starts to shout orders. Bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put sandals on his feet. Get the fatted calf. We're going to have a feast. We're going to celebrate. Why? Because my son was dead and he is alive again. Why the robe? It speaks of royalty. Why the sandals? Because sons wear sandals, not the slaves. The ring, symbolic of sonship. The real prodigal is the Father, representing our Heavenly Father, God Himself. This is the parable of the prodigal God, who lavishes us with His love and His blessing, who is infinite in His love pushed out upon us. He rushes to meet sinners with His love. You know, we can see ourselves in this lost son. We are saved and we have come home. This celebration party was big. It was huge, but it doesn't begin to compare with the celebration in heaven over one sinner who repents. Big celebration here on earth. Nothing like the celebration in heaven when someone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number three is the elder brother. The elder brother. Look at verses 25 to 32. Now his elder brother was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound." And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son," look at his wording, he's mad. "As soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." Here's the punchline. And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." It was meet, it was appropriate that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. So here comes the older brother. He's coming in for his hard day's work, man. He's out there working his tail off just like every day. And he gets back to the big tent area, and what's he hear? Oh man, there's some kind of celebration going on here. What is going on here? So he hears the music, and he sees the Israelis going in their circles with their little happy dance. And what in the world's going on here? And so when he finds out what was happening with his little brother, boy, his blood was boiling. He was angry. He was really mad, and he would not go in there. I'm not going in that celebration. Nope. We have two sons in this parable that both left the farm. That's the bottom line. Okay, the younger brother, the younger son, went far away. He was separated because of his sins of passion. All right. The elder brother was separated from his father through the sins of a bad attitude. We got to check the attitude. Actually, he is farther away than his younger brother, and he had not even left the farm. So he's serving his father with a chip on his shoulder. Now, the older brother was not all that bad. I remember, like it just happened, sitting there in college, and special speaker comes, and he used this very text. And his sermon title was, "Let's Hear It for the Other Guy." Now, his sermon was not based on the truth of what we're looking at tonight. His sermon was based on, let's hear it for the young lady, the young man who does not fall into sin, who stays on the right path, who doesn't stand up in church or some meeting and give some long, sordid testimony about how they fell into sin and they did all this and then they came back to Jesus. So his point was, let's hear it for the guy or the girl that stayed faithful to the Lord all of their life. I kind of like that sermon. I guess that's why I can hear it right now. It's like the man just preached it. He was from Texas, and he had the Western jacket on and all, you know, all that, and the cowboy boots. And I mean, he was Texas. I don't know where the hat was. I guess it was under his seat or out in the car. I don't know, but I'll never forget that message. Let's hear it for the other guy. So this brother, the older guy, he was a good man in the community. Respected, exemplary, obedient, dependable. On this very day, what was he doing? He was coming in from work. He was a hard worker. He had some moral righteousness. The younger brother was none of that. But the older brother was, as Mark Twain said, he was a good man in the worst sense of the word. The older son's heart was completely out of sync with that of his father. He didn't have a loving heart like his father had. I mean, they're standing there face to face, celebration going on inside. He did not share his father's joy at all. I've worked hard all my life. Where's the party for me? What's going on here? I mean, this bum, he comes home and he wasted everything he had. And you're giving him this big party. I mean, we can sort of understand this. Matter of fact, we all might have reacted the same way. Who knows? So all these years, the older brother could have taken advantage of daily fellowship with his father, and he did not do that. He did not have sweet fellowship with his father. He did not rejoice with his father. Should have. How did the older brother get like that? It is easy to forget what we were like before we came to the Father in heaven. It's easy to forget that. Time goes by and we begin to imagine that we're really good people. because we've avoided some certain sins. And all the while, sins of attitude run rampant in our hearts, in our minds. We do not regard our jealousy, our pride, our judgmentalism as sin. No, they're little faults. That's all they are. They're little shortcomings. And so then it becomes easy to become critical and judgmental and unloving, just like this older brother. Our surface familiarity with holy things has rendered them to be dull and boring in our life. A lot of people who go to church, they're there, but they are absolutely bored with it. And that has happened over time in their life. And so our story closes with the elder brother standing face to face with his father, fists clenched, and he's really upset. And here, the wonderful final two verses. And he said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." So this is the parable of the prodigal God, the lavishly loving God that we serve today. Another hymn writer says it like this: "Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me." Our spiritual temperature is a highly personal matter. It's not collective. We are individuals in this. The main thing that we have to remember is that he who fails to recognize himself fails to recognize his God. We have to understand who we are, where we're at. Do we fall into the category of either one of these brothers? And then the bottom line in the last two verses, we must always remember, we should never forget the eternal words of our Heavenly Father in verse 31. These are words that we have to remember as children of the King. "You are ever with me, and all that I have is thine." You know, like we said this morning, this life is short. It is short. But God says, "All that I have is thine forever and ever and ever." It's going to be awesome. So we need to weigh very carefully where we're at in our life now. And make sure this is a powerful point to remember. "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for the power of this parable. It is just full of amazing truth. Truth that is good for our lives. From the moment that we're saved to the day that we die, it is good to remember the truth. What a great Heavenly Father we have. What a loving Father we have. Caring for us not just now, but for all of eternity. What a joy it is tonight to be a child of the King. We give you praise for that fact and that truth tonight, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.